The Warrior Soul podcast is written, produced, and edited by me, Chris Albert. Our goal is to empower U.S. military veterans to live their absolute best lives. And we do that by providing tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas that they can apply into their lives to become wiser, stronger, smarter, more resilient, and more capable human beings in the civilian world. If you're not a veteran, stick around because anything we talk about here can obviously apply to you. And if you like what we have to say and the information we provide and the guests we bring on, please head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and review. It really helps to spread word about the show and to get this helpful information into the hands of more veterans so that they can in turn improve their lives and shape the future of this country. This podcast is brought to you by the amazing, the wonderful F-Bomb Nutrition. They make awesome, delicious packets of fats. These are portable snacks that you can carry with you anywhere. It's so hard to find a low-carb snack out there, but these guys have done it. They got macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate. They mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with pecan butter. They've got awesome meat sticks, and they've got these delicious cheese snacks that they put out there. Plus, they're an amazing company. They send boxes of this stuff out to the troops on the front line. It's not something we ask them to do. It's something they volunteered to do. So if you want to get some of the best low-carb, high-fat snacks on the planet, head over to www.dropanfbomb.com. Use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your first order. This podcast is also brought to you by the amazing, awesome people at Save the Brave. Save the Brave is an organization that provides camaraderie events for veterans. They do fishing events, they do golfing events, they do other sporting events, and they also do a lot of work to help Gold Star families. And look, we've all heard stories about veterans charities where the executive boards are taking these giant salaries, and I don't have a problem with that at all. But here's the thing. I want to make sure that whatever organization I'm talking about is doing amazing work. SaveTheBrave.org is doing absolutely outstanding work. Their board doesn't take any salary whatsoever, and they are having an amazing impact. They're focused on getting veterans to live their absolute best lives, and that's what this podcast is about, and that's why we wanted to work with them. So if you're interested in volunteering or donating to Save the Brave, head over to www.savethebrave.org and make your donation or your request today. Finally, this podcast is brought to you by Warrior Soul Apparel. This is a clothing company that I actually helped to start a couple of years ago as we were beginning the brand Warrior Soul. We've got some amazing t-shirts. We've got skivvy shirts with some pretty funny sayings on there, like, I love Jesus, but I cuss sometimes. We've also got some awesome hero shirts. We have the amazing Hard Times Breed Hard People series. And these are just great shirts that I've helped create. And they support the show. So if you're interested in getting some Warrior Soul shirts, head over to www.warriorsoul.shop. And finally, if you're interested in joining a new group that we are putting together here at Warrior Soul, a group for those who are looking to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries, stick around to the end. We'll have some information for you to check out. With that, let's get into the episode. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And we need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? I have a great episode for you today. It is my friend, a repeat guest, Mr. Kevin Meyer, the creator of the Pure Bullfit channel. And Kevin is a U.S. Marine Corps veteran. He entered the fitness industry with a boom this past year. He's created a bunch of viral videos. He's got a really rapidly growing YouTube channel, one of the most rapidly growing channels on that platform. And above all, he's one of the most honest and genuine people in the fitness industry right now. And I consider him a friend. He's an awesome dude. We don't agree on everything, but he's the type of dude who, you know, you can talk to, you can have a civil discussion with, even if you disagree with him. Now, one of the things he's done really well is he's called out a lot of bad advice in the fitness industry. And as we know, there is a lot of bad advice out there. So he's doing a really awesome service for the community out there, and he's putting out some really awesome tips and helpful content in the process. And he's also, you know, just ventured out on his own and started his own personal training company, which is pretty cool. So I wanted to bring this dude on. You guys, if you haven't listened to the first episode we did with him, I highly suggest it. You're going to love this episode, and I definitely suggest checking out the Pure Bullfit channel on YouTube. You're going to love this guy. And with that, let's get into this conversation with Mr. Kevin Meyer. Kevin, welcome back to the show, my man.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be back.
Dude, so what's been new in the world of Pure Bullfit?
Oh, goodness. We are still growing at a pace that I don't understand, because I'm putting out content that's similar to other folks who aren't experiencing the same boom that I am, but I'm very grateful for it. I'm grateful for this community that I'm building. It's growing fast, so it's hard to keep it headed in the direction that I want, strictly positive, strictly talking about the things related to fitness, health, wellness, longevity that matter. Because as you get bigger, you get a lot of people who want to pull you in a lot of different directions. So I'm starting to experience that now that I'm large enough to be noticed. But things are going well. A lot of big changes in my community, in that, you know, I've for a long time I've been working directly with Alan Roberts from Every Damn Day Fitness as one of their health and wellness coaches. And I've taken a step back from that to focus on my own community and focus on my education, instead of just being satisfied with a kinesiology degree, moving on towards physical therapy, really just doubling down and trying to provide the best possible information and resources that I can in the long term. So that's a very long-term big goal, but it's the one that we just decided on, and we just started to double down on the community focus, and I'm really excited. Scared, but really excited.
Things like that are scary. I mean, your channel's grown exponentially just over the past few months. I mean,
like, yeah, when we talked, it was like 20,000, and we're pushing 60 now or something like that.
That's insane growth. I mean,
and I don't get it. That
silver button pretty soon, right?
Every time I say somebody's wrong when they say some shit like that, it happens. So, you know, my wife was like, you're going to have 50,000 by Christmas. And at that time we were sitting at like 31,000. We were only having about 100 subs every 4 or 5 days. I don't stress the analytics too much, but I was like, that's not going to happen, sweetheart. And then we released two videos that went viral, and then we were at 41,000, then we were at 48,000, we were at 50,000. And by the time I got my, hey guys, we had 50,000 subs, here's a contest, we're going to give you some money. By the time I finished recording that video, we had like 56,000. So it's like, just won't slow down.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm grateful.
Dude, you got to be, man. I mean, like, to live in a time and place like this, where people could put stuff out there, even if it is a little bit restricted right now, as opposed to what it was about 5 years ago, you know, you're able to get your opinion out there. And it's an opinion that would not have been available to people, you know, as little as 5 years ago when the magazines were still largely in control.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. Your men's health, your muscle and fitness, those were like the big sources of information. And as commercialized as they are, you weren't really getting great information. And nobody knew to go look at NCBI. Nobody had services like MASS, which is a group of guys that go over hundreds and hundreds of studies in relation to exercise physiology, health, wellness, all of that stuff. And they distill it down for you and they like present it to you. We didn't have those readily available. So yeah. Yeah, you looked at Ronnie Coleman on the front of a magazine. It said he did a feeder workout every night before bed. So your ass did a feeder workout every night before bed and wondered why you couldn't raise your arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't miss those days.
No. I mean, there was something about the glorious 90s where you walked into a gym. Back in the day, though, like if you walked into a gym and you did one of those workouts, you saw Muscle and Fitness. At least the gyms I was at, you know, as a kid. You'd have guys who were there who were in the know who would be like, kid, what the hell are you doing? Like, don't do that shit. Squat, deadlift, bench press, you know, focus on the big movements, that kind of stuff. I had a lot of guys just pull me by the scruff of the neck and they're like, dude, stop that shit.
That's why I started laughing, because that was my experience early on. I walked in mimicking some bullshit I'd seen on a couple of videos that my mom had bought for me, VHS videos with workouts on. I forget the name of the guy, but he was this big Eastern European dude with a heavy accent. And it was really funny because I think they were trying to find somebody that was like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they got like generic off-brand Arnold Schwarzenegger. He wasn't even Austrian. And it was bad. And, you know, so I go in there and I'm doing these sloppy ass cheek curls, and my coach Price in high school football is like, what the hell is wrong with you? I said, well, I'm just trying to get strong. He's like, none of that is going to make you strong. And then, you know, learned the basics of the bench press, the hack squat. You know, we did a lot of partial squats for football. We didn't really do a whole lot of deep squats that we're seeing the benefits of now. I think they actually still see a lot of that in the college level for training. There's a seems to be a fear of going through a full range of motion. There's a lot of half squats, but total topic for another day. I'm going to write that down, actually.
Yeah. No, that's something I see. There's a lot of controversy about you know, it really depended back then, like on who was around you, right? Mm-hmm. Like if your coach trained a certain way, if
tribal knowledge.
Yeah, and I was just lucky enough to run into a group of powerlifters at a very early age who just kind of taught me what to do. That was the thing.
I wonder how. Like I love as soon as I discovered powerlifting, I loved it, but I didn't discover it until I was 34 and a half, almost 35 years old. So I think back, like, what if when I was 18, you know, it would have been a totally different trajectory for my relationship with fitness, because I mostly did military style calisthenics all the way until I was 33, 34 and a half years old. I was skinny, you know, 6'3", 185 pounds is not a lot of meat on your bones. But that's what the Marine Corps wanted.
Yeah,
I'm really interested in how many times you can bench press 225.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, and training as an infantryman, I mean, that's if you were jacked and you're in the Marine Corps, you usually weren't in a combat arms.
No, you're a supply clerk. You're a cook. There's nothing wrong with that. Bullets, beans, and Band-Aids. I have mad respect for all the support elements. But the only jacked, super jacked guys I ever saw were garrison rats, not anybody who was in combat arms.
Yeah. When I was in Bahrain, I saw a couple of SEALs and they were huge, but.
Yeah. I did an individual augmentee for about 2 years with Marine Corps Special Operations Command. And we worked with a couple of the teams over there. We worked with Rangers, 3rd and 4th Battalion, I think. We worked with 10th Mountain, and the SEALs, by far and away, I don't know if they just don't blood test or what. Those motherfuckers were huge. Every last one of them was jacked. I never saw a wiry SEAL. No, I did one. Petty Officer Hill. He was wiry and he had a gut, but he was absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
In so many other ways.
Back then, there was some chemical assistance. I mean, I'm not going to speculate about such a great.
It'd be speculation. Yeah.
But I mean, they're proximity to Tijuana, San Diego, all that stuff, you know, you got to think. I mean, and the thing is, for me, morally, if you're in that type of situation where your physicality is going to be the difference between life and death, you know, I don't have any moral problem with it. And I don't think anybody really should, but, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people misunderstand me from the content that I put out on YouTube. I don't have a moral objection to testosterone, synthetic or otherwise. I don't have a moral objection to these things. But the content that I put out, the direction of my life, and the resources that I put out are designed for longevity and quality of life. Mm-hmm. And that's where I draw the line. Large doses of these things, or persistent usage of performance-enhancing drugs, there's a lot, an overwhelming amount of evidence that suggests it'll shorten your life, increase in colon cancer, the issues that come with when you're using HGH, organ growth. Yet there's things that you can do about all of that, but it in and of itself is not conducive to longevity. So that's why I'm like, hey, this is not what we should be doing. But in that instance where we're talking about our war fighters, we're already putting our bodies on the line. We already come out beat to hell, absolutely destroyed. Like if that were an official part of the program, I have no moral judgment against it. It's not a moral issue. I mean, compared to all of the other moral issues, you're going to tell me, this is what gets me. You're going to tell me we're going to take our boys and we're going to send them over there to enforce political policy with violence, but it's not cool if they take some currently illegal substances.
Right.
But I can go riddle that guy with holes because he disagrees. Sorry about the dogs. They're territorial. Yeah, they have high prey instincts and they have high territorial instincts. I think it's like a 1 to 5 rating and they're maxed out on both. So they make really interesting noises.
Don't want to mess with your house.
You know, we don't have any problems. We live in an area where there are some problems. Nobody comes by the house. It's weird. Or the guy with the German Shepherd, nobody comes by his house either. Strange how that works.
Two crazy dogs, big over 6 foot dude with a long hair and a beard, you know, that kind of stuff.
But I'm the teddy bear. The dogs will eat you. Actually, my wife will fucking wear your bones and shit. She's the scary one. People don't seem to understand that. When the apocalypse hits, it's not going to be zombies. It's going to be cannibals. Like, why are people training to fight zombies? You should be training to fight cannibals. And I'm scared that my wife is going to be one of them.
Oh, man. That's right. You got married over the time
period. I did. I got married back in October. It was a good time. And that going on with the channel blowing up and trying to focus on education and this crossroads that I just recently came to, I was trying to provide the fullest spectrum of resources to people. So I was really debating whether or not I was going to go towards psychology with my remaining education benefits, or if I was going to just double down and go towards physical therapy. And working in the mental health field as I do, on top of trying to run a fitness and health and wellness organization and community, I'm getting gray hairs, dude. It was beating me up. So ultimately I decided, okay, you know what? I'm not going to be adding psychology onto this. I'm just going to double down. Exercise science, physical therapy. I'm going to go that route.
That's awesome. A lot better. And so is this going to be like a certificate or a degree?
A doctorate. Yeah. It's a doctorate program.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So you're going all the way up to a PhD, right?
Yep. I've got the next 5 years of debt planned out.
The big thing I could say, because I did PhD work, obviously not in physical therapy, but I was a social scientist. What I could say is like the big thing is use the early part of the career to read everything you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's going to help so much when you're working on your dissertation, when you're working on that stuff. And it's also going to help you in identifying the holes, the academic holes that are out there. Because with a PhD, you're literally
trying to fill a hole.
Right? You're trying to fill those holes. Yeah. And so we read as widely as possible through your discipline, especially at the beginning.
That's already a passion of mine now. I've always enjoyed digging into the minutiae. So I really hold back on my channel. There are other channels out there like Jeremy Ether, who he basically just reads the summary of research. And that puts my ass to sleep. I try to keep things a little bit entertaining. I try to make some jokes, try to do some roasts and shit like that. But if you want to see me excited, tell me that there's a new fucking study out on the difference between or the validity of the issues purported to be surrounding sarcoplasmic hypertrophy. There was one that just came out and I was super excited. Or there's more evidence to suggest that there is some benefit to laser therapy between like 685 and 808 NG, I think. I don't remember the exact wavelengths, but as far as recovery, ATP production, shit like that. Dry shit nobody wants to hear about. Nobody wants to hear me talk about that for a half an hour. But I'm going to be very excited to be sitting there reading it going, holy crap, we could sit in front of this lamp legitimately. This thing I've been mocking for years, this red light therapy, might actually work towards recovery. We could have people recovering faster from injuries, from workouts, finding what human potential is without necessarily injecting our bodies full of chemicals that are carcinogenic or cause rampant organ growth or lead to muscle tears, which is one of the things I don't think enough people understand about using synthetic testosterone is your elasticity of your muscles. You're going to have more muscle tears if you're using that shit. You might get stronger, easier, and faster, but you also might be out of training for 2 fucking years because you tore your pec.
Right.
Sorry, that was just an aside. No, I was talking with my friends about it.
You know, one of the things I think, because I trained bodybuilders for a long time. And
yeah, I remember.
Worked with a lot of amateurs and a lot of people at the pro level is one of the things I don't think people get is that the amount of stuff a lot of those guys in the top five of the Olympia are taking is actually not as much as you'll see some of these guys who are taking at the local level. And it's because they don't have the genetics to do it. They don't. I mean, a Ronnie Coleman, Flex Wheeler, things like that, they're not going to be taking as much as some of these guys you've seen at the local level. And I saw some crazy things, man. I saw intravenous growth hormone usage, guys spending, tens of thousands of dollars through a prep on this kind of stuff, insulin usage at the amateur level, which is something that it's the one thing that can kill you instantly. You know, and I don't want to be a hypocrite here. Obviously, back in my day, I definitely experimented with these things and definitely used these things.
To make you a hypocrite, that makes you speaking from experience and a knowledgeable perspective.
No. Honestly, yeah. And the thing is, like, again, I have no moral problem with it. It's just I have a problem with the miseducation and misapplication.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they are miracles. Yeah. They are. If you use them in the proper way, they could do some amazing things. But if you abuse those fuckers, it's like dipping from the forbidden well. You're gonna pay a price.
Absolutely. And you're spot on. These kids that are blasting and cruising enormous amounts, they're trying to super compensate for what they see in these guys that are, look, I hate to say it this way, but genetically superior. Like, we're not all. I'm not a great deadlifter. My limb proportions are not awesome for the deadlift, right? I could take a bunch of junk that would make me better at it, but it is a fact that my limb proportions, my moment arms, my morphology is not ideal for the deadlift. Oh, too fucking bad for me. The same thing with in muscle insertions and muscle bellies and whatnot. No matter how much junk you take, you're not going to beat that guy who is just genetically more suited towards a symmetrical appearance. And they've got the knowledge. They're also on junk, but whatever. But they don't need to use nearly as much. So these kids are trying to supercompensate for it. They're like, oh well, okay, he's 285 pounds before he drops down to 235. So I need to get to 300 pounds. So I need to take $1,500 worth of this shit every fucking month. This might work. I'm just going to stack that on top. We've got these research chemicals. I'm going to throw those on top because some asshole down at the local gym said there's no side effects. And they're still testing them on rats. Nobody knows what the fuck is. That's my problem.
In my opinion, the SARMs are, I think there's almost more danger right now with the SARMs than going with something that has been, you can dose it out. You know what the effects are. You know how to recover from it. I see a lot of kids messing around with SARMs these days. It's insane, right? Like you're messing with your ability to procreate.
Yeah. So I've been like really open, much like you are. I live with chronic pain every day. It's this last 24 hours, I wasn't actually sure I was going to be able to make this interview because I was in so much pain earlier today. Fortunately, we were able to, it's not probably a word, but unsubluxate my lumbar spine. My lumbar spine was out of alignment. It was causing me a great deal of pain. I couldn't sit up. We finally worked on it and it went, and I'm able to be here now, but like I deal with that all the time Some days the pain's so bad I can't get out of bed. So when SARMs were first being talked about, I had a lot of degenerative joint disease. If the temperature changes too much, I get inflammation in my joints. It's extremely painful. I was told that it heals joint damage. So I did a bunch of research for what was available, and they talked about studies where they'd used 3 to 5 milligrams of MK-2866, and that healed joints. I was like, okay, well, this is technically legal. I'm going to try it. And I tried it for a couple of months. And I didn't really notice much, if any, improvement in my joint pain. But then when I started researching what people were doing with it to achieve, performance enhancing effects, they're not using 3 to 5, which is what was tested. The equivalent on animals was tested at about 3 to 5 milligrams. I think 10 milligrams is the highest study I found. Motherfuckers are using 50 to 100 milligrams of this shit. That's not what was tested. And every day, every fucking day, to achieve these effects that are more like steroids that presumably don't have any side effects. And it does have side effects. It does cause suppression. It can cause hair loss. God only knows what it's going to do to the colon, because we haven't been looking at it long enough. I mean, it's been researched for 10 or 15 years, but there haven't been enough human studies to determine what the long-term effects are going to be. I've got cancer runs in my family. I don't eat much meat because I don't want to get fucking cancer.
Right.
So I'm certainly not going to long-term take something that might have that effect. So I've been really open with people who are like, oh, you're not natty. Okay, cool. I'm not natty. I don't compete. For 2 fucking months, I used MK-2866 at a level that was tested. Cool. Whatever. Like, if that makes you feel better about the fact that I'm 41 years old, disabled, I still lift more than you. If that's your line, cool. I hope it helps you sleep at night. But it's the longevity, it's the risk, it's the unknown. And as weird as it may be to say, we know what the significant risks of synthetic testosterone are.
Right.
We know what to do about it. We don't necessarily know everything that we need to about SARMs. And they're coming out with a new fucking SARM before they figure out what the last one does. Like, exactly. Every week, it's a new fucking SARM. Like, okay, well, slow your roll. You don't need to stack RAD 40, MK-2866, MK-677, because I think that's the HGH equivalent one, which isn't even really a SARM, but they just lump it in there with SARMs. Mm-hmm. So when some asshole says SARMs are safe, they take MK-286, or no, they take 677, and they think that it's just as safe when there are very large risks to HGH. And it wasn't just 10 years ago. People were telling me there's no risk. There's no side effects to HGH. And rabid about it, too. Like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. Hey, guys, I hope you're getting a lot out of this interview. You know, the Warrior Soul podcast is built with the mission to empower its listeners to live absolutely epic lives. And that's why we recently created a group called the Warriors Obituary Society. This group is built to empower its members to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries. And it starts with an 8-week development program. And with this development program, what you're going to do is you're going to outline a vision for your life. You're going to get very specific about what you want. Because without that specificity, you don't know where you're going and you don't know what you're doing. From there, we help our members to develop specific goals, objectives that they are going to push toward, and that their fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society are going to hold them accountable to. From there, we're getting down into specifics. We're going to help you to develop and customize your own personal fitness and nutrition plan to help to fuel your body and fuel your mind for the quest ahead. From there, we're going to work on your personal finances. We're going to help you to knock down debt. We're going to help you to start saving money and to create a plan so that you can start investing in your dreams. Then we're going to get into your business and career. We're going to help you to develop the skills that you need to develop yourself so that you can have a major impact in the field you choose. If you choose to go into business, we're going to help you to set up the foundations that you need to create your own company and get started on your path in life. From there, we're going to be working on your relationships. We're going to help you to develop a world-class network. And all along the way, you're going to have your fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society pushing you in every single area. We meet once a week over a live call, and we're constantly communicating over our own private forum on Slack. We don't do anything over social media, and that's because I don't want anybody feeling like anyone's looking over their shoulders, and I don't want you exposed to the crazy, distracting alerts that you get on Facebook and some of the other social media platforms. Normally, programs like this cost thousands of dollars. This one does not. For the price, it is the best development program on the internet. And that's because our mission here at Warrior Soul is to empower people to get more out of life so that they can in turn make the world a better place. We've got a great mix of active duty military, U.S. military veterans, and civilians in this group. We wanted to keep it really eclectic so that we get a lot of different types of views up there and a lot of different people with different areas of expertise. If you think that this is something that would be of interest to you and that this is something that could empower you to live your absolute best life, head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. That's www.warriorobituarysociety.com, and you can sign up today. And if you have any questions about it, just reach out to me at chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. That's chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. I'm happy to even sit down with you for a phone call for a few minutes to see if the group is right for you. I look forward to seeing you guys in there, and let's get back to this awesome interview. Well, and that's the thing.
Risk.
We know the connection between IGF-1 and cancer.
Yes.
And if you are constantly activating the mammalian target of rapamycin, then that is a definite way to turn on those genes. And, you know, the horrifying thing is that, you know, if used at 1 to 2 milligrams, growth hormone does have some longevity implications. If used at 3 to 4, which most people are doing it, that's when it gets anabolic. I've seen people doing 6, 7, 8, right? And insane. And I, like I said, there's no Olympia title on the line. We're talking like
no.
Orange County, Mr. LA, that kind of stuff. And it's ridiculous.
I worked at a video game company where there was a large portion of the people who worked out who didn't compete in anything at all. They just wanted to be the strongest person in our health and wellness program at a video game company.
That's crazy.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Okay. There, I knew guys that were taking tests so that they could hit 3 plates on a deadlift. Almost anybody can hit 3 plates on a deadlift with just training. That's within the realm for the vast majority of people. So it's disheartening to see people take completely unnecessary risks. Like we were talking about earlier, there are arenas, there are places where something like that might be appropriate. And I am kind of curious, academically speaking, I'm kind of curious to see what the human body is capable of if in a controlled environment where we had some, enhanced competition. I kind of like recognized enhanced, not under the table, not like, oh, it's tacitly understood that everybody's on gear, like with World's Strongest Man and like the Olympia stage and shit like that. I'm kind of curious to see what the human body is capable of. I always am. But we don't currently have the situation where it's safe to do so, where the risks are truly, honestly understood, approached with clear sight so that people can make a decision for themselves if this is something that they want to do. I'd rather see it open, honest, and regulated than the current state of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, and it goes with everything too. I suffer from autoimmunity, and right now they've got
me. I saw your post on that.
Yeah, they've got me on doses of prednisone, and the prednisone, it's a corticosteroid. So basically, you're increasing the amount of cortisone in your body, which it feels like thunderbolts. Like when it hits me, I feel like I can't calm down. I have like this crazy edge, and only two things help to take the edge off of that. Number one is exercise, which right after this interview, I'm going to go get a workout in. But number two is cannabis. And, and with cannabis, my thing is this, I've never been a person who enjoyed being high. Never. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy that.
I can feel that. Yeah.
There's certain meditative elements like where I will take a large dose and I will allow myself to go off on tangent thinking and things like that, but it's not an enjoyable experience. right? Like it's a bit crazy, but you know, for me, it's the one thing that's taking the edge off. But at the same time, I raise my eyebrow when I hear people saying that it's the cure for all things and that everybody should be using it. That bothers me a lot.
It really bothers me too.
If you're a kid whose brain is developing, that's probably not, if you've got schizophrenic tendencies in your family, mm-hmm. that's probably not a good thing. There's a whole host of different situations where
that are aggravated. Mm-hmm. And that's focusing on the benefits to the exclusion of the possible risks is not approaching something with clear sight. And we could be having a much more honest conversation about cannabis. I work the fucking drug mission. So people expect me to, anytime somebody brings up marijuana, to get combative and upset and, you know, be like, no. But I've seen the good that it can do for folks. People that are very close to me in my life who suffer from some pretty acute, very difficult trauma, and some other things that they came with, it has helped them. But starting it too soon, I've also seen it impair cognitive thinking. I've also seen it exacerbate the conditions that you're talking about, not just schizophrenia, but things like dissociative identity disorder and borderline personality disorder. When they need to be developing those coping skills the most in their teen years and early 20s, learning how to deal with the overwhelming emotions that they have in a society that they're going to be dependent on to some extent, but being shielded from all of that because they're self-medicating out the ass with cannabis, it can stunt them and keep them in a state where they're going to be marginalized for the rest of their lives because they just can't fucking assimilate to any level. If we're having a clear-sighted conversation about it, I love your movement to legalize it for vets. I need to get that shirt. That's it's a good reminder. I keep thinking about that, but I've got to fucking do that because I want to rep that. I absolutely do. As somebody who struggles with post-traumatic stress disorder, CBD has helped me. I don't like the feeling of being high to the point where I won't smoke. I won't, or cannabis. I just won't. With hypervigilance, that lack of feeling of control is not a good feeling, and coming out of it, it's a panic attack every time. So what's the point of being calm for an hour or two if you're only going to have a panic attack as soon as you're coming out?
Right.
But I 100% support it. I absolutely believe that if we can move forward with open eyes and be honest about where it's appropriate, where it's not, that this could be a really useful thing, not just economically speaking, take a look at places like Colorado and what's happening here in Maine, but also for, you know, our overall quality of life and our ability to deal with things like seizures. It's absolutely effective. I think CBD by itself is as well. I have to look into that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a, and the thing is too, though, one thing that's happening with CBD, and I think with THC as well, is that it's so commercialized now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm seeing CBD everywhere. It's in CVS. It's in 24-hour fitness. When I go there, it's,
I haven't seen it in the gym yet. That's new for me.
It's everywhere. And then the other thing that bothers me is the same kind of lack of education you see with what's going on with performance enhancing substances.
Yeah.
You know, I get that from the bud tenders because I'll go in and I'll say, listen, I suffer from an autoimmune disease. I'm going through extreme pain right now. I'm trying to get something. I'm not here to get blasted. I'm here to try to get help. And most of them are just trying to get me high. And I'm just like, yep. Dude, it's not what I'm looking for, man. You know,
we need actual cannabis professionals,
right?
That's what we need. We need educated professionals, and that's not going to happen until it is legalized broadly, recognized as legalized by the federal government. All those steps are taken. We don't need like a dealer in a polo.
Right.
And that's what we have in these shirts, in these shops, is we've got some kid who smoked for a long time or who's got, you know, nothing better to do with his time. And he's trying to fucking explain to you how his blend is going to help your autoimmune disorder.
Right.
We need people who know what the fuck they're talking about, just like in fitness in that realm. I just wish it was a lot easier for people to have a legitimized education, a legitimized like professional, I don't know, reviewed body, like a certifying body or something like that to determine who could be handing out information on what cannabis does. Cause I'm so sick and fucking tired of hearing it cures cancer. I just lost my sister to cancer. So when somebody tells me, oh, this is, if she'd just done this, I'm not a violent person anymore, but I have to quell. I have to quell every time somebody says some dumb shit like inversion therapy cures cancer, gravity, this magic light. No offense to people who are spiritual about like Mother Earth and stuff like that. But if I see one more person come at me with a crystal rock and tell me that would have cured her cancer, I want to knock their fucking teeth out. Yeah. She suffered for 6 years. Suffered. I want some people who know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah, I had a my old football coach, his daughter is suffering from cancer. And, you know, we're on Facebook and he's putting stuff out there. And, you know, I think it's shared over a benefit to raise some money. And some people from another community that I was associated with, and it's always self-help people, they come in and they start, oh, she should try this. Oh, she should try that. Oh, she should. And I'm like, I came on, I'm like, dude, this man is suffering right now. You cannot do that to people. You can't be a freaking vampire with people who are suffering. And even when I put my stuff out there about ulcerative colitis, I had to say, listen, I appreciate everybody who wants to help, but I'm trying everything. It's not because I'm being stubborn. It's not because I'm doing this. It's not because I'm doing it's literally the way my body is right now. I have to figure it out. And you don't have the answer. Right? You're not a magic key. Right? Just because you watched a few YouTube videos, listened to a few podcasts, that doesn't make you.
And watched a fucking BuzzFeed video. Yeah.
Exactly.
Fuck.
Yeah. Pisses me off.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing I have to say is that's the value of your channel and the work you're doing out there, because what you're doing is you're calling out bad advice out there in the health and fitness community. And
that's what I'm trying to do.
It's what you're trying to do. But you know, in the thing is, the way YouTube is, it's often not the best ideas that get put forward. It's whoever's got the best physique, the best abs, the best this, the best that. And, you know, with certain people you've called out, I really enjoy watching you, because you break things down very logically and you're kind of pulling back the curtain that a lot of these people are standing behind.
That's the purpose. But I want to encourage people not to take anything I say at face value either. Not because I'm trying to pull anything, but if you're only watching my content and accepting what I say at face value, you're just simply perpetuating the behavior that got us here to begin with. We have to have a little bit critical thinking applied to every bit of information that comes in. The more you agree with something, in my opinion, and this is just from working in the intel field, the more you readily agree with something when it's presented to you, the more you should question it, the more you should immediately look at it and go, is this right? Because we have this terrible, I get people who ask me, well, how do I know I can trust you? My response is always, don't trust me, go fucking verify. I make sure not to talk about anything that can't be verified with a simple fucking Google search and a little bit of elbow grease on your part, because that's the behavior that I'm trying to encourage people to do. I will break it down and say, yes, this is not how the afterburn effect works in a HIIT workout, and this is how it works. But I want you to go look at that and see it for yourself and understand where that information came from. Or when somebody talks about a study and they misrepresent what that study is saying, I'll share the study. I'll talk about it briefly, but I want you to go take a look at it for your damn self. Don't trust me. Don't make me the cult leader that you're following, right? Just because I say things the way that you identify with, or I come from a place that you respect, or something to that effect. Definitely don't trust what I have to say just because I'm a damn veteran, or because you like my hair, or any of the other stupid shit that people just tend to gravitate to you for. No, question. Like, right. Prove me wrong. And the couple of times that it's happened where somebody's like, hey, you got this wrong, the very next video, I'm like, hey, I got this wrong. This is what the correct information is, because it's not about being right the first time. It's about getting the right information. Getting the right information out there at all. You got me all like passionate and shit, so I started to stumble.
It's all good, man. I love the passion. You know, and I've been around a lot of big YouTubers. You know, my channel has never blown up itself, but I've been around a lot of people who have highly subscribed YouTube channels who become superstars in the fitness industry. One of the things I see that I saw in the past and that I still see out there is that there's many people out there who are loath to admit that they were wrong. And they dig their ground, they choose their hill, they're going to die on that hill, and they're going to keep putting that information out no matter what. And that's a problem.
I think that some of them think that if you do that, you're just going to lose everything. Like you've lost your authority, nobody's going to watch you anymore. And my experience with the few things that I've corrected myself on is the exact opposite. I've had so many people come out and say, I appreciate your transparency. I'm really glad that you hold yourself accountable. You don't try and make excuses. That's what happens when you actually have a community. More of these guys should be willing to admit they're wrong and not the bullshit apologies where they're like, well, you know, I might've misspoke, but here's how everybody mistreated me in this situation. And it's totally fucked up that they were talking about me in this way. Alan Roberts just called out Scott Herman. Scott Herman's got 2.3 million subscribers. He is a huge name. And Alan has done very well for himself in the last couple of years to get over 200,000 subscribers. They have two different presentation styles. And there was a point when they were going to work together. And then that fell through due to some personality conflicts or what have you. I'm not super in on the situation to know exactly what happened, but that's what I've pieced together. And to Scott's credit, and nobody from Alan's camp wants to hear this from me, not Alan. Alan and I talk about this shit all the time. But Scott was like, oh, okay, I got that wrong. I need to do better in the future. Cool. That's what you should do. Awesome. You should fucking like go, okay, I just got my ass spanked. I should be careful about how I present information in the future because I do talk to 2.3 million people and I have a responsibility to make sure that they get the best information out there. And I thought that was actually the way to go. That's the way that you should respond to it. And when people call us out, this is YouTube. We're public figures. It's not going to be nice. The people that said they were going to kick my ass, like Ryan Ankrum and whatever it was, oh, this was in the streets, you get popped in the mouth or whatever dumb shit it is he said. One, nobody's scared of an internet tough guy. But two, I thanked him. I was like, hey, it's really important to know how you look from the outside. This was, aside from the drivel about punching me in the face, this was a really good video. I went and I commented directly on his video. I thanked him for it. I shared his video and encouraged everybody to go watch it and say, if this is how I'm actually coming off, community, tell me about it, right? Because that's not who I want to be. And it came back that now he was just defending his friend. But even when Vegan Gains, who is a loathsome human being, talking about turning people into skin wallets, stomping babies into the ground, challenging to fight everybody and then never showing up himself. When he talked shit about me, I made fun of him whining for 2 hours, but I was like, hey, thanks publicly and privately. I was like, thanks for helping me see how I'm viewed from the outside. This is an important source of feedback. Be open to that shit because we're going to talk shit about each other. Right. It doesn't necessarily mean that we can't learn something from it.
No, exactly. Exactly. And I think, you know, there's so many newbies come out. They're trying to put this aura out there that they're an alpha male, they're this, they're that.
We're old dogs, and neither of us look terribly old, but we're old dogs. And we've been around if there was such a thing as alpha males, we've been around it. Marines are hard chargers, and we've earned a reputation. There aren't so many quotes about us being badasses for no fucking reason.
Right.
But like the more you talk, the relationship between your badassness and how much you talk is inversely proportionate. The more you talk about that shit, the less of a badass you are. And all these kids coming out who've done nothing, gone nowhere, talking about a warrior's mindset, talking about going to war with the weights. Right. Bitch, you've never get going to war with your plate, okay? So, like, don't talk to me about
inanimate objects. Lifting inanimate objects in an air-conditioned room. Don't make it more serious.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. You're not Vikings. You're not Spartans. You're not warriors. You don't have a warrior's mindset, so don't presume to be able to teach anybody a warrior's mindset because that's about endurance and the willingness to sacrifice your state of being in order to achieve something greater than yourself. And as much as I love working out, lifting 500 pounds in a squat or benching 405 or whatever it is your goal is not something greater than yourself. That's just another point of vanity.
Right.
Exactly. One that I'm gleefully chasing, but I understand it's a point of vanity and not something that's actually contributing to the greater good.
Exactly. What are some of the latest things that you've been tackling out there on your channel as far as issues go?
So, man, it is right now, there is a bunch of people who are getting ready to start fitness for the first time or take fitness back up for the first time because it's the end of the year. So subject matter wise, I'm going back to the basics of, you know, how energy systems work, how basic routines work, how much progress you can make just doing simple things, because I want people to have that information readily available. But at the same time, I'm still 9-10 months in trying to find my voice because we grew faster than we were supposed to. I expected to maybe have 1,000 subscriptions by now. But we talked about that in my last video or my last interview with you. When I had 20,000 already, I was like, I'm supposed to not even have 1,000 yet. So I'm trying to simultaneously tackle how am I going to get people the information in a form that everybody can consume for it's with as little effort as possible, so that they have it readily available. So like, do I put up a website because people don't use Facebook? That was strange to me. People would refuse to get Facebook long enough to take a free program that I put out there. So do I open a website? So I've got that front building up. What is pure BullFit going to look like? Because I didn't expect to have to make these decisions yet. And then what is the most important information that I could be putting out right now? Because this is also the time of year where everybody who's already a gym goer starts talking shit about everybody who's not. It's like, oh, the fucking resolutioners are going to be in here. And who wants to go start a program? Who wants to go start trying to learn something that's already hard enough when they feel like everybody around them doesn't want them to be there? So I got to combat that and do all that bullshit.
Yeah, that's kind of, you're in this spot right now where you got to figure out how to scale this thing and be able to get all the help out there while still trying to create your editorial platform as far as what your voice is going to be. And that's a good place to be in. It is a little bit scary though, right?
Yeah. David Bowie's got a great quote on that. I don't want to butcher it, but he basically says, you know, when you walk out into the water far enough where your feet no longer touch the bottom, but you're aware the bottom is there, that's a good place to be. That's where growth occurs. And I agree with that. I've got a great support system. I got good people around me. Alan has been very generous with his time. And while I did leave as a coach so I could focus on my things, we left on incredible terms and we stay in contact. And it's not like there's any heartburn or friction there. There's other folks that I don't like name dropping, but there's other folks that have reached out and we've got some pretty exciting things to talk about and endeavors to go through. And right now, I'm just trying to maintain the very transparent aura of accountability and integrity, which I got to tell you, financially is hard. Mm-hmm. I've been offered not insignificant amounts of money to just publicize somebody's video or their shoes or their supplements. And I have to say no. I have to say no or I don't have integrity anymore.
Right.
Right. Even if I believe in the thing, like... Omar Esau, he asked me if I wanted to be an affiliate and I had to say, no, I love their shoes. I use that. They are my weightlifting shoes. But if I say yes, and I give a discount code, then people have it somewhere in their minds that my opinion can be influenced or bought. And I just can't have that because the idea is I got to get the best information to people and they have to have a reason to be able to believe me, even if I do want them to check that opinion. So that's hard because I've literally left probably tens of thousands of dollars on the table already this early. And I'm like, wow, why couldn't I be a scumbag? This would be a lot more lucrative.
Well, and you see the temptation out there, right? I mean, like
I do
for a 15-year-old kid who gets into this, right? Imagine that. Yeah. You're in high school. And
that's
you start
so
to
scary.
Become popular and people come around and they're like, because you've criticized some people like that, right? There's people out there who are putting really bad advice out there or making a lot of money off of YouTube. And it's because they got caught up in this. And I like to assume the best of people. Maybe they just got caught up in the game and things like that, right?
Yeah, I don't, like nobody wakes up and thinks I'm a bad guy. Like, unless you're Billie Eilish, like nobody does that. They view what you and I do in shades of black and white, what they do in a thousand shades of gray. So they wake up and they justify it. It was like, well, you know, I'm getting good information out there, or I'm getting people to get active, even if I'm an 18-year-old kid who doesn't know anything about exercise physiology, and I'm taking an ass ton of SARMs in order to get a physique that people will believe in. At least I'm still doing good by getting people active. And it doesn't take much more justification than that. But yeah, there are people out there who are like, I got to get that money. I got to get that cheddar, or whatever it is that kids are saying these days in relation to, I don't know what the current slang is, but it's probably something ridiculous.
Exactly.
Before they probably call it kale.
I know we're coming up on time here in a second, but I wanted to ask you this, you know, just watching Alan's channel and some of the stuff you've done.
Sure.
Alan's putting a concerted effort out there to get the message out that obesity kills, right? Mm-hmm. Obesity is dangerous. It is unhealthy. Something I agree with. And it's something that I know you agree with as well. At the same time, I look at both you and Alan as people who want the best for individuals, who want people to feel welcome, who want to attract people toward health and fitness rather than pushing them away from it. But I feel like people are mischaracterizing a lot of your arguments and saying that you're anti-fat, you're discriminating against fat people and things like that. Why is that happening? And what is your response to that?
Well, my personal response has been to take a step back. I'm having a lot of conversations with people in the healthy at every size movement, body positivity. I have ongoing conversations with a number of folks there. Me seeming like I'm right, like I said before, isn't the important thing. It's getting the message across. So if there's room for me to improve in how I'm delivering that message so that it has a chance to be received, then I want to do that. And that's one of the things that's very different between me and Alan, is that the information that he's giving is correct. It is accurate. But the people on the other side of it who desperately need to hear it oftentimes are feeling defensive. And Alan has a very legitimate point in that he says, fuck your feelings. Like, that shouldn't matter as much. But I'm taking kind of a oblique approach in that not everybody's ready to face that. And it's really difficult. It's difficult to be called fat phobic or hateful. But when somebody tries to actually interact with me, that's my opportunity to change their mind. So I take those opportunities, and it's a lot of emotional investment. But I try and show folks that it isn't about disrespecting them, and that I'm willing to, work with them to find a way to deliver the information. And they have, there's folks on that side of the coin that have a lot of points. Alan and I and other people, who take an even more aggressive approach than Alan. The goal is a healthier society. That is actually the truth. The goal is helping people. And I know from personal experience how much Alan is willing to give. He could charge so much more for what he does. He could offer so much less than what he does. And he could work half as hard as he does. But he does it. Like, he's actually legitimately passionate about this. But those folks on the other side, their identity, their state of being is being challenged. And it's a legitimate argument to say, society's treated me like shit for being fat my entire life. Why should I listen to you tell me I don't care about my kids? Why should I listen to you tell me I don't care about my health, my life, when I've got these people over here who are telling me I'm valuable just the way that I am? And they have a point when they say there is no specific, understood, causative mechanism of obesity and 13 cancers and diabetes and all of that. But there is no specific causative mechanism understood for the increased risk of lung cancer and cigarettes. But we all understand that it's a double-digit correlation and therefore significant enough to be taken at face value. And I think that we haven't been as good as we can in acknowledging that, because we say science at the top of our lungs, and they say science at the top of their lungs. And anybody who has a shred of truth to lean on is unwilling to budge in their position, and they're perfectly willing to just ignore any information that is contrary to that. You could give them a study and they're like, well, that was paid for by the Anti-Fat Association of America, or whatever fucking nonsense they want to come up with. So long story short, sorry, I tend to go on. The short version of this is it isn't important for people to think that we're right or accept the message the way that we want it to be sent, in my opinion. We have to find a way to get the message across so that it's understood and it's received as well as possible so that people can actually make the change, because that's what's fucking important. And Alan has done that. And I don't think people realize that. If they go back and they look at his very first videos on obesity, we're talking to two or three really just bad actors like Tess Holliday, Sonali Rajatwar, this registered nurse who's saying dumb things that are leading people astray. That's who we're talking to. But if you're in that movement, we're talking to you. If you're Susie Q from fucking Alabama, when I say the things that Tess Holliday says or Sonali Rajatwar are irresponsible and going to hurt people, you think I'm saying that to you because you identified with what she was saying. And that's where a lot of this comes from. But for my part, I'm listening the best that I can, and I'm trying to find a way to cut through the bullshit, to acknowledge feelings as much as possible, to challenge them where it's necessary, and to make sure that people have the information to actually just fucking get started. I don't need people to like me. Obviously, Alan doesn't give a shit if people like him. But I do want to stop the aggressive momentum of just the overconsumption and underactivity of our society.
Right.
We are killing ourselves. And Chesty, I believe it was Chesty Puller. Or maybe it was MacArthur. I don't remember. But the
quote about we'll be taken over by a race of more
yep. viral, that's a hardier Chesty. Race than ourselves. Yeah. It's absolutely true. We're preeminent because we worked hard to become so. And we've been resting on our laurels for a long time. Societally speaking, as world citizens, as Americans. And while our physicality is not the only thing that needs to improve, it is the very first thing that we can improve and learn the lessons that we need to learn in order to apply to the rest of our beings and the rest of our lives to improve across the board. And that's just where I sit on it.
It's something you can control. If you can't control, I should say that with a caveat. I mean, your hormones, things like that, there's a lot of intervening variables there, but you at least have control over what you put into your mouth and what you do with your body. Right.
Yep.
And things that regardless of how you look, it's a matter of doing these things because they'll be additive to your life. Right.
Absolutely.
I think we, one of the problems with society is that we look at those things in some ways as luxuries, where if you have time to do this, if you have the money to do this, then that's for you. But if you've got to work, you've got to do all these other things, then you don't have time to do that. And the fact is, that's a deadly mistake that many people are going
quite literally deadly
down to the road to morbidity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Craziness.
Man. That's right.
Well, dude, number one, I want to thank you for coming back on here. I consider you a good friend. You know, I love your stuff. I love your movement. I think, you know, the conversations you're having out there are really important. And above all, you're getting people to think. Like, you're not a vampire, right? That's what I appreciate about you.
Yeah.
You're trying to get people to actually think. And that's what's important. That's what we need right now.
We need way more critical thinking. We need way more challenging, just accepting information, this mindlessly regurgitating the information we get from sources that we tacitly trust is deadly to our society. It's deadly to intellectualism. It is deadly to progress. So we absolutely need to challenge everything.
Absolutely, brother. The channel is Pure Bullfit, and his Instagram is also awesome. It's Streetwise Hercules. Where'd you get that name from?
A Bonnie Tyler song. We need a hero. I just fucking love that song.
That's awesome.
Where's the Streetwise Hercules? That's it, man. I heard that. I heard that lyric, and I'm like, that's my Instagram name. It's not deep.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And it looks like you got a lot of really great things coming down the pike too, man. And tell us about your new training venture right now. What's going on with that?
Oh, you're talking about, it's not unique. Like, power building is something that's been around for a long time. And I don't know why people think I came up with it. I got some weird comments to that effect. I'm at a point where I had these two lifetime goals of benching 405 and squatting 500. And being able to do so as a disabled person would be a significant accomplishment, in my opinion. So I am this close. So I did but I know that about to turn 41 in March, and I'm going to be focusing on quality of life, much like the exercise routines that I see you doing. You're taking care of your body. You're taking care of your joints. You're doing absolutely fucking fantastic. So I'm going to be focusing on that moving into 2020, seeing how my body feels, and then making a decision on how I want to train for the rest of my life based off of that, based off of how this year went, focusing on strength, and how next year, focusing on, you know, longevity, athleticism, move, mobility. So the gap between those two things is my power building program, which is a combination of bodybuilding and powerlifting. The strength component will help me close the tiny, tiny gap between those two lifetime goals before my birthday. And if I hit them, great. If I don't, I'm still committing to dropping probably about 25 to 30 pounds, getting down to about 230 pounds, holding steady there and just working on body composition for the rest of the year.
That is a really smart way to go about things. That's a really smart way to go about things, because you're allowing it to be your decision before you're reaching that point of diminishing returns.
Yes.
With all the other stuff you're doing. And I think every person needs to come to that kind of understanding with themselves, is saying, at what point is this, all this crazy stuff I'm doing, going to start hurting more than helping? And let's start prepping for that. Right.
There's some incredibly strong people well into their 60s and 70s. Louis Simmons is very strong. I may not think much of the things that come out of his mouth, but even Mark Rippetoe is strong for his age, but they don't move well at all. They hobble. And I don't want to be 55, 60, 65 years old and hobbling. I want to be moving well into my 90s. So since those are my goals, and not having a 600 pound squat when I'm 72, then that's what I have to work towards.
Yeah, exactly. Well, awesome, man. Again, thank you so much for coming back on here.
Dude, and, always a pleasure.
Yeah, love your message. And above all, remember, you're a Marine Corps veteran. Thank you for your service, man, and everything.
And yours. Thank you for your continued service, because you're still out there helping people, and that's one of the things I respect about you the most. Not blowing smoke up your nose. I know you're trying, but you consistently put out a good message. You're consistently supportive of people. You reached out to me when I was small and knew nothing. I see you. I watch you reach out to people you think can have an impact. You talk to people from a variety of viewpoints. You're not pigeonholed into anything. And I respect all of those things about you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man.
All right, killer.
To everybody out there, you know, again, check out the Pure Bullfit channel. And you know, if there's anything to get from this conversation, if you're going to pursue anything, pursue health and pursue life. I mean, that there is nothing more worthwhile as an investment in this world. And there's very few things out there that you will get a sure return on. But if you put the work into yourself, into not just kidding your own vanity, but to making your body perform better and feel better and to protect your body and your health, that there's nothing else that's more worth it out there.
And I think you'll be amazed how much you enjoy everything else in your life.
Exactly. So put some work into that, ladies and gents, and get out there and live your best lives while you can. We'll be back at you later on this week with some more awesome content.
All right, Chris, thank you very much.
All right, guys, I hope you got a lot out of that interview with Mr. Kevin Meyer. Definitely suggest going to check out his channel, the Pure Bullfit channel. Amazing dude, one of the most honest and awesome people I've met in the fitness industry, and I'm proud to call him a friend and a fellow United States Marine. I hope that you guys are getting a lot out of this podcast in general. We are bringing on some amazing guests, and we'd like to keep doing so. And the way we're able to do that is by showing our guests the impact that we're having. So if I could ask you one favor, you know, we don't really ask you for anything in return. We have ways of supporting the show, but you know, we do this show pretty much for you guys. It's a free service. And the only thing we really ask is that you head over to iTunes and you write us a written review. Let us know the impact we're having. let people out there know what this show is doing for you. It helps so much to get the show into the ears of more veterans, and it will help to do a lot of good. So if you just do that, spend 2 minutes of your time writing out a review, it really, really will help us. Beyond that, if you want to support the show, you can head over to our shop, warriorsoul.shop, buy yourself a piece of awesome gear. We've got some amazing t-shirts designed, created by U.S. Marine Corps veterans up in Santa Barbara, California. And then on top of that, if you want to support in other ways, you can head over to www.patreon.com/warriorsoulpodcast. We got some great tiers with some awesome gifts for our supporters. And then beyond that, if you want to support yourself, I told you about the Warriors Obituary Society. That is open to you guys as well. And with that, we will be back at you later on this week with some more awesome content. I hope you guys are living well. Get out there and live your best lives while you can. And this is Chris